Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
An Erios original.
And I think that's part of the reason why I love basketball so much is because it's this more, there's like an alpha energy to playing sports that is so not anything I've ever had in my life. It's new for me, and so it feels like it's kind of fostering a facet of my personality that I never paid any attention to.
Welcome to Filling the Void, which is a podcast I do where I talk to people about what they do for pure joy, their hobbies, no agenda driven things, nothing you make money from, just the fun of doing something for your life that you like and don't care what anybody else thinks, how you fill the void. And if you yawn, I won't judge you or think that you're bored. Because Okay. Your boredom is allowed in this space.
Oh, that's nice.
Actually, yawning isn't an indication of boredom. It's an indication that our bodies need to breathe, that we're not giving our bodies enough oxygen. So it's very important to yawn. Anyway, I'm saying that also in case you see me yawn.
Okay. Yeah, I'm okay with yawns.
Okay. You know, part of the reason why I wanted to do this podcast to tell you, and I guess anybody who would listen, is that waking up in the morning, for the most part, is excruciating. I don't think it's depression. Why I don't like waking up in the morning, I think it's just like stuff to do.
The grind.
Yeah. And it's so boring. Brushing your teeth, peeing, eating.
Eating is boring to you?
Of course I look forward to eating, but like I hate cooking. Mm. And the whole like, what am I going to eat? Thinking about preparing of what I'm not like a great decision maker. I just wish that I started doing Munchery.com, one of our advertisers. Just kidding. We don't have that. I don't know what that is, but imagine if this whole beginning part was like a commercial. So even work, which started for me, I guess, as a hobby when I was younger. I mean, writing, creative writing, it was something that I really enjoyed doing. And then once I got older, and that was my segue, by the way, from waking up in the morning and having to do the grind. I'm very, very grateful that I ended up doing my hobby for a living and as a job, but it got a lot harder and it took a lot of the fun out of it. I really struggled with, well, if I used to read and write during my leisure time, how do I spend my leisure time? What do I do in my free time?
Right.
And I didn't know. This is a couple of years ago, and I would smoke cigarettes nonstop and play Spider Solitaire on my phone, which is really fun. And I still like to do that, but it isn't very challenging or creative, and it gets boring after a while.
Yeah, it's relaxing, but it's in no way productive.
Exactly. What happened was that Paul and I decided to go to Palm Springs for a weekend. And we were going to this hotel or Joshua Tree or whatever. We were going to this hotel that was had beautiful hot springs and was like a nice spa, little retreat. But there was no TV or Wi-Fi, which is, we're not those people. But I was fine with it, and so was he. And we were actually looking forward to it. But he was like, I feel like I'm going to buy some paints and canvases for a trip. And I was like, that sounds cool. Go for it. And I just like brought a book and whatever. And he went out and bought like an easel and canvases and all these paints and paintbrushes. And he didn't end up opening them. A couple months later, I'm sitting around smoking, playing Spider Solitaire. And I was like, I remember like having fun in art class. Like I remember what I liked in school was lunch, English, and art. I'm not very good at drawing. I can't say that word because I'm from Long Island. But I was like, I just want to try. And it seems like it would be fun to get weird with a paintbrush. So I started painting and it changed my life. I mean, it completely changed my life. And I did, you know, I wanted to talk about the things that people like to do that they don't make any money from. It doesn't further their career in any way. So it could be a hobby, but it could also be, I don't know, hobby sounds like you need accoutrement with it. Like right. You have to buy stuff. Mm-hmm. So it could also be like meditation or whatever.
Right.
Smoking weed. I mean, I don't know, like what people do with zero agenda that they enjoy. But I wanted to talk to you because I know you're a writer and a performer. I also know that you have hobbies.
I do have hobbies.
So when I was at your house, I noticed that you have a garden.
Yeah.
And it was like you had a nickname for your garden.
Yeah, it said Marty's Garden.
Yeah.
Because that's what my husband and I both call each other, Marty.
That's a cool name.
Yeah, I love the name Marty.
Me too. Why do you guys call each other that?
I think his name's Matt. And when I first met him, I was just like, you're Marty.
I like that. I love nicknames and I wish I had one. I do. I shouldn't say that. I mean, a lot of my friends call me Lezzles. But Paul texted me the other night and he called me Tex. And I was like, please call me that for the rest of my life.
A really cool nickname.
Right?
Yeah.
What a cool name. Tex Rust.
Yeah.
Sounds awful.
Oh my God.
It doesn't sound good.
If someone was like, Tex Rust is coming over and it was you, I'd be like, what?
Tex
That's
Rust.
Not it's, you.
It's too consonant heavy.
Yeah, but Tex is cool just it's alone.
Cool.
It's a one word name.
So it says Marty's Garden.
So gardening is a really like, I almost wouldn't consider that a hobby. I feel like I'm in the place right now where I'm auditioning hobbies.
Interesting.
So the garden is something, it's still alive. I got through one season, got a couple tomatoes out of it. There's some herbs in there and it's really pleasant.
Pleasant.
Yeah. To garden. I haven't fully taken to it.
Right.
But I'm going to keep trying, but I haven't fully adopted gardening yet.
Yeah. Pleasant isn't the word that I want to hear.
Yeah. I also, in my dream life, I do have this flourishing garden with all these fresh vegetables and fruit. So it's something I would like to foster, but I don't think I have a green thumb.
Okay. So is that what attracted you to trying it in the first place? Was like this vision of being this woman that has this flourishing garden?
Yes.
And so like what outfits do you wear with that?
Well, in my vision, in my dream life, I'm wearing like, yeah, drawstring linen pants and like a matching linen top and like a big sun hat. Mm. But in real life, I'm in my husband's shirt, weird shoes.
Crocs.
Not Crocs, but I have like my little ballet flats I wear out there, but they're filthy because I use them for outdoors. I have mismatched pajama pants and this big hat, like men's hat I got at the zoo.
This sounds like a great outfit. And you have a gardening apron with lots of tools and stuff.
There's no apron. And honestly, having to go out there and water that garden every day, it has been taking a lot out of me.
You don't care for it.
I don't think it's for me, but I'm willing to give it one or two more seasons.
I like the idea of having a flourishing garden as well. Mm-hmm. What I'm attracted to about that is knowing how to use tools like a hoe and having a specific cute apron and gloves and like a smudge of dirt across the cheek.
So cute.
Yeah. So that's why I would dabble in such a thing. And I have tried it and it's not for me either.
And what went wrong?
It was boring.
It's very slow. There's not a lot of instant gratification. My herbs are still alive. And I will say I like to cook. So I, you know, going out there and grabbing some thyme, you know, if you're roasting a chicken, feels very romantic. But the tomatoes that I grew were all, they looked diseased.
Ugh, that sucks.
And I just literally know nothing about gardening. So I had a friend come over who is a hobbyist gardener and a very avid one. And she set me up. Her wedding gift to us was to like spend a day with us, helping us do this garden box, which was so sweet. So we went to the nursery and it's really fun to go to the nursery.
Yeah, that is fun.
Because there's a lot of hope involved.
There's so much hope there. I totally agree. It is a very inspiring place and it makes me want to get my hands dirty.
Absolutely. And getting your hands dirty is amazing. I mean, people do that as therapy, you know, like
really?
Earth therapy. You're supposed to have your feet on bare ground or in grass. And your hands, like in dirt, is supposed to be really good for your mood.
Dude, that is so true. I didn't know that that was a thing. That I guess you can attach the word therapy to anything you like.
That's very true. But this is something there is some sort of clinical term for it. I don't know it, but I think the thing for me is that gardening hasn't become a hobby. I do have some other things I consider more hobbies.
Let's hear them.
I feel like I've always thought that in my future life goals is to have hobbies. Like, I feel like there's some sort of romance around having hobbies because it does sort of signify that you're settled in a certain way.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was in my 20s and I was all career driven and like hustling and working a bunch of different random jobs, you don't have time for hobbies. But now that I'm in my 30s, I have more free time just because I have a more settled life.
Right.
So one thing that I was trying to think, like, what is my most interesting hobby? And I think what it is playing basketball.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you always like sports?
No, not at all. In fact, I literally never played a sport until 2014 when I joined a rec league basketball team.
No.
Like, not
way.
Even in PE. Like, I just would sit them out. I just had zero.
You, like, hated
interest.
Gym.
I hated gym. Yeah. I was a dancer. So you.
You were?
Yeah.
So oh my God, dancing is one of my hobbies.
Yeah, that's what I know you as, the smoking ballerina.
Yeah, that was a hashtag I once used.
Uh-huh.
Wait, what kind of dancer?
I did ballet.
Of course you did, because you look like a ballerina. Like you, I mean, you just have that. That makes total sense to me. Very graceful. And so it makes sense. So, okay. So you were a dancer in high school or growing up?
Yeah. Growing up until college, I think I kind of stopped doing it in college.
Only ballet?
I would do like jazz classes, mm-hmm. but I was like 5 nights a week ballet class.
No way. And where'd you grow up?
Long Beach.
And so you took like point and really like hard. I mean, ballet is hard.
It was hard. I was in like a little company, the Southern California Dance Company. We would do like Coppelia and the Nutcracker. And
I would love to see videos of you doing that.
I wonder. I wasn't very good because I have these, I'll show you, these knock knees. Do you see that? My heels don't touch.
Mm.
So it was never in the cards for me to become a professional
that
ballerina.
That is a problem.
It really was an issue.
I understand. I see.
Literally,
yeah.
I cannot touch my heels.
So cute. That sucks.
It did suck. But
yeah. But that is really, but you were still really good. You were in a company.
Yeah, I worked hard at it. I don't think I was a natural, but I did it like, you know, every night.
It is art and sport together as one. Like it is it is so athletic.
Absolutely. And like you have to have a really high pain tolerance.
Yeah.
Because your feet get really fucked up.
Totally. And knees and yeah, tons of Band-Aids and moleskin. And I mean, that's part of my attraction to it, but
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
It is very physically, there's so much endurance. Like, and I don't like sports. I don't like working out. Dancing is the only physical activity that I like. So, but that's interesting to me. So you danced, you hated gym, you danced, you stopped when you were in college, and then you didn't do any physical thing really.
No, I mean, I would like go to the gym, you know, I like take walks, do like bar classes, you know, that kind of bullshit.
Right.
But just to like be in shape. But I joined my friend Maria Blasucci. She, in 2014, she had played basketball in high school.
Maria's your partner.
Uh-huh.
She's Bean.
Bean, yeah.
She also is part of this podcast network.
Yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
Okay, go on.
And so she went to this all-girls high school where she was on a basketball team and, like, loved it. But that was, you know, back when she was in high school and she hadn't played a group sport since. So she was like, I want to sign up for rec league. The city has a men's league. I'm going to go sign up for the women's league.
Hmm.
She went to the Los Angeles Parks Department and she was like, I want to sign up for the women's basketball league. And they were like, oh, no one does that. It's been dormant for however many years. Women don't sign up. And the reason why was they said was because women have to watch the kids while their husbands play basketball. Like, they were like, women just don't have time to play. So this league hasn't had any interest.
Fascinating.
But so she sent out this big email. Hey, does anyone want to join a team? And like so many women, she posted on Facebook and like all these women at the time, it was mostly in the comedy community were like, I want to play.
Right.
And so that started in 2014 and we formed a team called the Pistol Shrimps and it started with like 6 teams. And now the league has grown to 25 teams.
No way.
And we play all around.
And you guys
LA.
Made a documentary about it or TV?
Yeah, well, this is what's so funny is like it literally started. It couldn't have been further from my career.
Right.
And then after a couple of years, some overlap started to happen where all of a sudden I was like developing a script based on our basketball league for Comedy Central with a couple girls from the team. And nothing went anywhere. And now it's kind of come full circle to it's literally just a rec league basketball team. Like there's no crossover anymore.
And how do you feel about that?
I think it's fine. There was a moment where that was fun, but now I'm like, I still just enjoy it Tuesday nights.
So you go every Tuesday night and you have a game.
Yeah.
And do you guys practice?
Well, the first couple of years, we were practicing every weekend.
Wow. Saturday and Sunday.
Like Sundays. Just okay. Monday weekend. We were insane.
I don't know why I automatically assumed it was both.
You were like
days.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I jumped to like when you said every weekend, my brain wanted to hear like every day. Okay, so did it normal style, but Sundays.
But now it's like we do the games, and sometimes we get to a practice, but people are kind of busy right now. And then it's really just this like community of women that we all hang out socially.
So wait, are you good?
No, I am not good. I'm way better than I was when I started because I understand the rules.
When you guys play, and I know you're all friends and like you hang out socially and whatever, but when you compete, do you really want to win?
I'm not. We always do want to win. There are some girls on the team who are truly competitive. I am not that competitive.
Right.
And I don't like it when the games get rough. So sometimes I'll even kind of like bench myself.
Like, what do you mean rough?
Girls like step to each other, almost get in fights. Like, they're like, words have been exchanged. People have been pushed.
What?
Women get, it's like a hockey game sometimes out there. It's crazy. Also, something I have never experienced in my life is that sort of like interaction with other women. And overall, it's very positive, but sometimes like it gets super heated and people.
Like, what? Can you remember a specific example of some words that were exchanged?
Oh, God. Oh, yeah. So I think I forget who we were playing, but like some girl. Kind of like you push sometimes, like sometimes people just kind of get pushed.
Right.
So like someone pushed Maria and she was like, hey, watch it. And the girl was like, that's how you fucking play basketball. And then it was just like, and then the refs have to come in and like break people up.
What was she like? That's how you fucking play basketball, bitch.
Yeah, basically.
But she didn't say bitch.
You can get a technical for cursing.
What?
Yeah, they won't let you curse.
Have you ever seen two girls start to get into a fight, exchange words, and you wanted to see more? You were like, please keep fighting.
Every time some people almost fight, like, it is kind of like a sick pleasure.
There is such an adrenaline rush.
I'm like, I can't believe I'm watching this right now. And then I start to think, if someone like pushed me or something on the court and was like stepping to me, like I could honestly see myself like hurting someone.
Shut up. Really? I'd be like, oh my God, sorry.
But I would never. I think I could, if someone like said,
do you fantasize about it?
I do fantasize about it. Someone like stepping to me and then I punch the person. But I never ever would. Also, because I'm such a friendly player. Like,
right.
It's so not my nature, but sometimes I do fantasize about it. And I think that's part of the reason why I love basketball so much is because it's this more, there's like an alpha energy to playing sports that is so not anything I've ever had in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is really, it's new for me. And so it feels like it's kind of fostering a facet of my personality that I never paid any attention to.
But in ballet, there's very much an alpha energy. Ballet classes are, especially when people are good, adult beginner classes, I don't think any people care as much. I feel like there's so much competition and there's so much. It's just like when someone is really good and they're really strong and you know it and you know they know it, the room watches them. And it, to me, that's like a very alpha energy. And I get a little of that, like, that bitch.
Well, that's interesting. I think that is definitely there. Like, it's like the same competitiveness in dance, but it's different because it's not outright.
Well, it's not contact.
It's not contact. And it's also like the whole point of the basketball game is you want to win. You're not trying to hide that. So there is something really liberating about it, as opposed to like in maybe the dance world, people are being so sweet to your face, but they're like, oh, I hope that she twists her ankle so I can be Clara.
Right. Like the winning. Right. Like that's where the performance part of it comes in. And it's like most of the time winning means that like maybe the teacher used you as an example, like there or liked you that day. Like
you got a compliment from the teacher is like winning. So it's, I think that's one of the reasons why I now understand why people like sports. Whereas before that was a whole world I had never even put a toe in. And even though I still don't watch sports and like when I read the newspaper.
Okay, so that was a question.
No,
you don't watch basketball.
No, but I could. I wouldn't be super bored. Like I would go to a basketball game. I just haven't.
Right.
Yeah.
But on TV, no.
No.
And so when you were like, okay, Maria is starting this league and I'm going to do it. Why not? I'm just going to. Like, you didn't know if you liked it or what.
No, I thought it was just going to be for exercise, honestly.
Did you? That even sounds like so hard to me. And like, even just like the driving to play basketball, like I'm so not, it's so outside of my interest.
I understand, but I am, my personality is if people are counting on me, I'll force myself to go. If it were just up to me, I would of course be at home because I am lazy as hell.
It's interesting that you say that a part of like why you do it is because other people are counting on you to show up. So a part of me personally being interested in something is knowing that I only have to show up for myself. Mm. So with ballet, with I'm very, very hard on myself. I try not to be so hard on myself because I'm an adult who can only get so far in ballet because it's hard and at my age. And it's my own personal best. Like, I don't want to be in a company, even if it was like a fun thing. I don't want to do it with friends. I don't want to meet people socially. I don't want to go out for dinner or drinks after. I don't want to have to show up for anyone other than myself. Once I have to start showing up, there was a period where my dance class was starting a company and I was pregnant. And so I didn't want to dance, but I said I would like help with production. And I was like, why did I volunteer to do this? There's no world where this is fun for me because I'm not dancing and I'm doing production and I have to do that for work. So this is like right. My hobby just turned into my job that I'm not getting paid for. So I was like, sorry, I can't do it. And I bailed. Even though people were depending on me, I was like, this is what I have boundary issues. And so part of why I like painting is that I only am showing up for myself.
It's completely solitary.
Yeah.
And that is beautiful.
But it's interesting. Like, I love reading. People try to get me to be in a book club or start a book club all the time. No, I don't. You're taking something that I love doing and making it an assignment.
So interesting. Yeah. So for you, the joy of your hobbies is like some sort of solidarity.
Yeah. That I don't have to show up for anybody. It's solitude. At my own.
I mean, not solidarity.
Yeah. Solitude. But because I have to show up for other people and other things in other areas in my life. And it is really that's a beautiful and amazing thing. Like, when I don't want to do something, but I have a commitment and I have to show up for it in spite of how I feel, has helped me grow and evolve as a person and so many areas of my life. So I need to have certain areas where I don't have to do that.
That's so fascinating. So I actually just got the chills.
Oh.
Because I was thinking about how maybe one of the point of having hobbies is that it fulfills something in your life that you're not getting. And you know, you have all these responsibilities in your life. So to you, having a hobby that you do alone is really important. And like, to me, another reason why I love the basketball team is because I feel like as an actor, a lot of times I'm like having to wear makeup and look pretty and being judged on how I look. So to get to go to this world every Tuesday where it's like no one has makeup on, like the bigger you are, the better you are and the more valuable you are.
Right.
It's like this whole other you're valued for complete opposite of what you're valued for.
That's cool. Right. It's like the bigger you are, the more valuable you are. You're sweating. It's total like vanity free.
Yeah, it truly is. Wow. Especially playing with all women.
That's awesome. And so all the other teams, like, are they still mostly comedy people?
It's really expanded to people from all walks of life.
And so what is another one of your hobbies?
Okay. So I was thinking about this. I think other than basketball and novice gardening, I think cooking and entertaining.
Okay. Cooking and entertaining.
That's something I love so much when people invite me over to their house for dinner. Mm. I have a couple of friends who are like great chefs and you go over there and it's just like so easy and you're so excited every time you get the invite. And I want to be one of those people.
You're going to be one of those people.
So I've been actually actively practicing like cooking.
And you enjoy it?
I like it.
What do you like about it?
It gets me out of my head and it gets me off of my devices.
Ah.
That's mainly it.
And you like being off your device? I mean, that's a weird question. It's good to have to work with your hands and
it
not.
It calms my anxiety because I can run a little bit anxious. So I really enjoy cooking. I mean, sometimes it's annoying, like if you're not in the mood.
Right.
But I was like,
can you get yourself in the mood?
Yeah, I have to like put on my apron. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll listen to a podcast. Sometimes I'll like, you know, have a either like a LaCroix or a glass of wine or, you know, something I'll put in a wine glass. It just That's feels fun. Like romantic.
And music.
Yeah, music.
And what does your apron look like?
I've got a couple cute vintage aprons.
Love it. I mean, I put on an apron when I'm like microwaving something.
What's wonderful about having cooking as a hobby is like you get three chances a day to do it mm-hmm. if you want.
So you said entertaining. Also, like, what do you like about that? Like, what does that look like to you?
Yeah, I like having parties.
You do.
So not like ragers, but right. just like I like in my also again in my dream life and all my hobbies are seem to be aiming me toward this life I have in my head that I want. It's like we have like al fresco dinner parties.
Yeah. Like this life is like in Domino magazine. Is that what? And that's not like no judgments. Like I've seen pictures of that life. And yeah, I'm like,
and this is the thing. I want to be just, it would be good enough for me to get invited to these things, but those invitations aren't flooding in. So I'm like, well, it looks like if I want to have an alfresco dinner party, I'm going to have to do it myself.
Oh, yeah. Those aren't real parties, by the way, either.
Someone's having them. Someone somewhere is having them.
Right. I think I can relate to it a bit because I remember like looking at pictures of flourishing gardens or alfresco. Is it alfresco or alfresca?
That's a good question.
Let's put the A at the end.
Yeah, let's make it the feminine.
Like those dinner parties and everybody's wearing like a great Ula Johnson dress and like has like a flowered wreath around their head that they made like during the cocktail hour and like,
oh God,
right. Like
what a nightmare.
There's like a guitar in the corner and like Jenny Lewis is there. So, you know, it's also like kind of cool. This is like my, what I envisioned, like my life in California.
Yes, definitely. that is.
And like Laurel Canyon and it's like,
oh, you're up in the hills. Oh, so
right,
much hair.
So
yeah.
much hair. Like everyone has long hair and like there's a hammock and whatever. But, you know, the reality of my life doesn't look like that. And there's like fucking dog shit in my backyard because I'm too lazy to take my dog for walks. And like when people come over, I scramble and I pick it all up, but I have a leaf blower and there's just like, I forgot what I wanted to say
to
that.
You got lost in your vision.
I got lost in my own ego. Bringing it back to myself and thinking about, oh, what I was going to say though, was that what's interesting to me is that you said that you have a lot of social anxiety, yet your hobbies are pretty much I focus around other people and like being social.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe not cooking, but like,
the basketball team.
The basketball team and entertaining.
Definitely.
So, like you said before, things that, I don't know, like maybe there's a part of you that maybe you have social anxiety because you want to be social and you want to figure out how.
I think that's part of it is like, I think that is part of it is like wanting to get to the point where this is all very natural and I wholeheartedly enjoy it.
Yeah.
And obviously that's,
I can relate
that's
to that.
Mostly with entertaining, but I also like when I am going to throw a party, like we do these movie nights in the summer where we do outdoor screenings and then like I'll cook for like 20 people.
Wow.
That to me is so fun because in a way it gives you something to do during the party because you are kind of like running around and you know, I enjoy that. And it's also all week I'll be like rolling around in my mind like, oh, should I make this or should I make that? Like it's the thing when I sit down in front of my computer with a free hour, I'm like Googling recipes.
Right.
Like it occupies the space in my mind that otherwise would what just be like mindlessly going through Instagram and like looking at girls and feeling bad about myself.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what hobbies do though. It occupies a space. And that's kind of how you pitch this show, right? I mean, filling the void. It's like, what do you do that feels like it's healthy?
Right. How do we fill our God-sized hole?
And don't you think that everyone wants a hobby and people who don't have hobbies would like to have a hobby?
Everybody, whether they actively want to or not, does try to fill the void in some way or another. So whether it's with self-destructive behavior, which, to be honest, most of my life it was. Mm-hmm. Like,
that is so true. I was actually thinking about that, not to interrupt you, but that, like, in your 20s, you're kind of are being self-destructive, like through partying or whatever it is you're doing.
Right.
And then in your 30s, when you're trying to be healthy, that's when people pick up hobbies.
Right. Like, in my 20s, my hobbies were all agenda related, whether I would admit it or not. My hobbies were crushes, boys.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to have a crush. I always wanted to be thinking about someone else. So I always wanted an obsession, and it was really fun to obsess over boys. Or, you know, and I still love shopping, but it was less for me and more about like cultivating a way that I wanted to look to appear to other people so that I could feel XYZ, gain fulfillment with certain people who I thought were cool. But yeah, I mean, back to what you were saying, like, I think everybody has a hobby, whether they know it or not. Sometimes some of it's destructive, some of it's not. It's like looking for something outside of ourselves to be fulfilled,
mm-hmm.
which in my experience will never fully make me happy, but in a healthy way, it doesn't make me unhappy. I'll say that.
Yeah.
So when I would like to say, oh, when I paint, it's like meditation, but it's not meditation because I'm usually listening to a book or a podcast. Mm-hmm. I'm not alone with my thoughts. I'm distracted. It's just, I happen to be moving my hands on paper than with my phone. Like, it's not unhealthy, but it isn't as healthy as like just being. Like, I'm not just being.
Right. But that's, really do that?
Well, that's like what
meditation is.
Yeah. I don't beat myself up over it because fuck that. Like,
well, maybe hobbies are meditation for normal people.
Yeah. I like that. That's fine. That works for me. Okay, so for filling the void, I'm really interested in like weird hobbies that people are super obsessed with. And we have a toll-free number and you can leave a message. Please call us at 844-370-VOID. Leave a message. Tell me what your weird, awesome, delicious, obsessive hobby is, because I'm like, I just want more and more and more. And I like it when people are obsessed with weird shit. And you can rate and review on Apple Podcasts. Tell your friends about Filling the Void. Bye.
Earios.
Powered by Acast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices.
Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.